on the business agenda. It's item number 4. In this matter, we have two speakers who wish to make a public comment on the subject. What I would do at this time, however, is before I have the speakers come up, I would invite the presenters.
Didn't mean to make quite such a grand.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We heard that before.
Well, as you get situated, I'd like to welcome on crutches Justice Brad Hill, chair of the Court Facilities Working Group. I'm glad you could be here, Justice Hill.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. We also have Judge Patricia Lucas present. Thank you.
He has a broken arm. We're quite a group. Yeah,
are these construction industries?
It's a tough committee.
Tough meetings.
Great
well,
idea.
Judge Heiberger's here in good spirits, and looks, he appears well.
Be careful, Bill.
And also Judge David Power, present with us. Good afternoon. Welcome, Judge Lucas.
I'm not sure you two should sit next to each other.
I know. A dangerous duo. Thank you.
Before the presentation, we do have two people who wish to make public comment. I'll call them in order of having signed up. And that is Ms. Jennifer M. Gates, Field Services Director, affiliated with the California Preservation Foundation. Both speakers have up to 5 minutes. Please come forward.
Thank you, Your Honor, for this opportunity to comment on this item today. My name is Jennifer Gates, and I am the Field Services Director for California Preservation Foundation. We are the only statewide nonprofit organization dedicated to providing statewide leadership, advocacy, and education to ensure the protection of California's diverse cultural heritage and historic places. For the past year, CPF has been tracking the courthouse projects throughout the state after concerns were raised in Nevada City regarding the future of their historic courthouse. Since then, CPF has begun to review all the projects and have a number of concerns, including the environmental and economic impacts. CPF believes that the highest and best use of California's historic courthouses is their historic uses, and the AOC should comprehensively review how to maintain their continued use through compatible additions and additional structures. Of the original 41 courthouse projects being discussed, 27 of them involve courthouses over 50 years old and potentially eligible for the California Register of Historic Places. Of those 27, only 7 involve renovation or continued use by the courts. The remaining 20 will be given back to the county, some with plans for reuse, but many with no known plan. CPF recognizes that there are a number of issues with these courthouses. If the goal is to first provide a safe, secure, and accessible courthouse, those courthouses without need for more courtrooms should be reassessed for how they can address their immediate needs within their existing facilities. Currently, the AOC is completing environmental documents for new courthouses before a project architect is hired to address the feasibility of adaptively reusing the historic courthouse. The AOC states that one of their goals for new courthouses is to address sustainability and wastefulness, stating we are also building structures to last 50 years, 100 years with periodic renewal and ongoing upkeep. What it does not address is the sustainability and wastefulness of the present. The courthouses of the past were also designed to last. Many have lasted for over 100 years and continue to function as courthouses or serve court functions. However, the courts cannot continue to defer maintenance at hundreds of courthouses while new courthouses costing over $500 a square foot are being constructed, especially when deferred maintenance has been the cause for many of these pressing concerns with these facilities. Without knowing when there will be additional funds for operations and maintenance, immediate concerns should be addressed first within the existing facilities. While this idea was considered by the working group, it was rejected because their use would delay the implementation of the courthouse construction program. CPF believes that many of the concerns with the courthouses in the construction program could be alleviated if rehabilitation of the existing courthouses was considered versus abandoning them and constructing new courthouses. What is wasteful and not sustainable is to continue to build new buildings that will leave existing buildings empty or subject to demolition. Demolition destroys valuable building materials and then fill our landfills and eliminates the energy and resources that were used to erect them. If our historic courthouses truly cannot continue to function as a courthouse, a plan should be developed and alternatives should be explored, included as part of these projects. Many communities have housed these county courthouses for over 100 years, and the current decisions being made regarding new courthouses has a direct impact economically and emotionally. Some buildings may find new uses, while others may fall into disrepair, leaving an eyesore in a community to be later demolished. Many of these communities also have strong economic ties to the county courthouse, located in their downtowns, with significant downtown office rentals for attorneys, vibrant restaurants and businesses supported by the court-related activities. If these courthouses are relocated outside their city limits or business districts, there will be an impact to the community's economic sustainability. With the number of courthouse replacement projects being proposed, CPF is concerned with the impacts to the historic resources and the historic communities they are located in. Attention must be paid first to the most pressing immediate safety and accessibility concerns and the deferred maintenance on California's historic legacy. Many of these communities want to work with the AOC to see their community landmark preserved and continue to function and support their local economy. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Gates. We appreciate your comments. Next, we have Ms. Sherry Oliver from the Art Deco Society of California, member and former president.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks for welcoming me. And thank you for your work, both to the Judicial Council and to the working group. It is appreciated. We recognize that there are a lot of issues here that need to be balanced, and your efforts are very much appreciated. I'd like to offer for a change a solution to some of our state's budget problems. Why don't we reconsider and remove the Nevada County Courthouse from this particular California Courthouse construction project? This action would result in an immediate savings of approximately $108 million, almost 35% of the $310 million in court construction cuts recently mandated by our legislature. As a former president and a current member of the Art Deco Society of California, they've asked me to speak for them today. Art Deco refers to that period of American ascendance in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. The architecture of this era is absolutely beautiful, and it is inspirational. It kind of incorporates the feelings of progressiveness and power and hope for the future. And that's one of the many reasons that I particularly enjoy that type of architecture, and I think many people do respond to it. In 1986, the Art Deco Society gave the Nevada County Courthouse its Art Deco Preservation Award. And just last weekend, we saw renewed appreciation for it at our Art Deco Weekend, attended by thousands. The Art Deco architecture of this courthouse is spectacular, even inspirational. It has become a famous symbol of the town of Nevada City. It crowns a hillside full of buildings that personify the earliest history of the state of California, the Gold Rush of 1849. It uniquely dominates and defines its setting. Californians value their history and the architecture that expresses that history, and the Nevada County Courthouse is living history. In 2008, as you know, the state of California passed SB 1407, creating the courthouse construction project to spend $5 billion on courthouse upgrades. The 2008 fact sheet on the project states, AOC is moving forward to seize the opportunities created by the current economic climate. Talk about climate change. The rosy financial forecast that made this expenditure feasible in 2008 soon faded. With a new financial uncertainty, many plans made before the crash of 08 have had to be dropped or modified. I think the same should be done with this project, especially regards Nevada County. The financing requires higher fees and debt service and court service costs, further harming an already overstretched California public. In Nevada County, the economic harm would be magnified exponentially as a history tourism upon which many local businesses depend would be curtailed for years while the project is underway. The possible harm to nearby architectural resources such as the Searles Historic Library, as well as the historic fabric of the courthouse itself, could be irreparable. We strongly concur with your draft EIR that the building's demolition would constitute, quote, significant and unavoidable damage, unquote, to Nevada City and to the gold country. This finding requires development of alternate plans. We need a new plan, one that uses restoration and adaptive reuse of the courthouse, the annex behind it, and other nearby properties, some controlled by local entities. We of ADSC feel that the current Nevada County plan goes far beyond the idea of upgrade that was sold to the public, that demolition is unnecessary and counterproductive, and that significant harms would result from it. Californians' key values have been downplayed or ignored in some of these project drafts, I'm afraid. Values historical, architectural, economic, and environmental. Because, as Jennifer just remarked, in an era where we're told to reuse, repurpose, and recycle every little piece of paper, adaptive reuse of historic buildings makes far more green sense than old bricks and mortar in a landfill. In sum, for all of the reasons above, we ask you to reconsider the Nevada County Courthouse plan, to develop a new restoration-based alternative proposal as required by CEQA, to give the Nevada County Courthouse construction project more study with a view to achieving safety within a more realistic budget. And we hope that when you pass the working group's recommendations today, that you will exempt the project in Nevada County from that approval. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Oliver. At this point, I'll turn it over to the panel.
Thank you very much, Chief, and members of the council. It's a great pleasure to be with all of you this afternoon. And initially, I'd like to thank the speakers who joined us today. It's not an easy task sometimes for speakers who are interested in issues to make the trek here to San Francisco to make their voice heard. I had a chance to chat with them a little bit in the audience, and I know Mr. Givens, who has addressed the council before, is also here and interested as well in the Nevada City issue. And I would just say to you and to them that although we are moving forward and making a recommendation to move forward with respect to the Nevada City site, we have not recommended, nor has a site selection been made or a determination that any courthouse is going to be torn down. That decision has yet to be made and will be made sometime early next year. So we appreciate them coming here and voicing their concerns, and it's an important part of the process. We do have a number of items to discuss today with respect to our recommendations, but at the very outset, I would like to recognize OCCM staff. They have done a truly outstanding job during this process. To say that we had a difficult task is somewhat of an understatement, but we could not have done what we did without the superb staff work, and I wish you could have been around the table at our two-day meeting when person after person on that committee commended the staff and said, quite frankly, what we did during those 2 days could not have been done without that superb staff work. So thank you very, very much. There are many of you here, and I don't want to recognize all of you, but they did a wonderful job. Our working group is made up of judges from across the state, from courts, large and small, as well as court execs, local government officials, attorneys, and architects from outside the branch. We had and continue to have a very daunting task. We all realize that in this economic climate, our efforts need to demonstrate that we can build safe, efficient, and cost-effective courthouses designed to last for generations to come. You have our written report before you, so I won't go into great detail as to each and every recommendation in our report that we presented, other than to say that tough decisions were made and will continue to be made to ensure that the program moves forward in a cost-effective manner. One example is our recommendation to eliminate $50 million in funding for the Alpine and Sierra courthouses. This is not to say that those courthouses are adequate for the citizens of those communities. They are not. But in this economic climate, when we look at the caseloads and other factors that we had to examine that day, it simply did not support moving ahead with those projects. But we're certainly wanting to work with those communities and with those courts to see what we can do to modify the facilities so that they can be accessible and courthouses that are safe for those citizens. In addition, we have created a courthouse cost reduction subcommittee chaired by Jeff Johnson, justice from the Court of Appeal in Los Angeles. The name of this committee really says it all. It's not the cost review subcommittee or the Cost Analysis Subcommittee. It's the Courthouse Cost Reduction Subcommittee. That is their mandate, and we expect to see significant savings over the coming months and years. Another important component of OCCM's work is courthouse maintenance. Judges Power and Heiberger will be talking to you about this important area and the current funding shortfalls. Our ultimate goal in this particular area is to decentralize maintenance responsibilities to the extent that our local courts can receive proper funding to do the jobs themselves. If a local court is equipped and willing to handle their own maintenance, they should definitely be able to do so. Ultimately, no court will have to take on these responsibilities. However, many may want to take charge of part or all of their own maintenance. There's currently a pilot project about to begin to identify just how this ultimately might be done. It's chaired by Sherry Carter, court exec from Riverside, and we will be reporting to you soon on its progress. There's another issue that we'd like to raise with respect to courthouse maintenance. There's been a great deal of focus on the list of maintenance projects across our state. This list includes thousands, I think it's about 4,000 requests for maintenance at courthouses in every area of the state of California. However, the problem is, although this courthouse maintenance list is a fine internal document, and people within OCCM, people around this table know exactly what it means, it was confusing to the public. And it's turned out to be very confusing to any member of the public or media who try to discern the status of any particular item on that list. There are no $2,500 closets being painted or in the works, or there never will be, quite frankly, a $2,500 paint job on a closet. But this placeholder list, the maintenance list I'm referring to, with the default cost amount inserted, instead of saying simply cost to be determined, gave the impression that perhaps there were such closets being painted. It's resulted in confusion, and it's led to undue criticism of the program. The public deserves a clear and concise list, and to that end, I'm recommending that it be totally revamped and resubmitted to the Judicial Council. I've chatted with the folks at OCCM. They're certainly amenable to doing that. They understand that in this day and age, with the Internet and the capability and the fact that some people want to access that Internet and go through 4,000 projects, they should have the right to look at those projects and understand each and every project and what it means. And we intend to recommend just that. Our working group believes strongly that our courthouse construction program must continue moving forward across our state, as safe, efficient, and accessible courthouses are simply not a luxury. We thank you very, very much for the opportunity to work with all of you on this important effort. Now, at this time, I would like to introduce Judge Pat Lucas, the vice chair of the committee, to talk a bit about another important effort by our working group to ensure that this courthouse construction program is operated in an efficient and cost-effective manner. Pat?
Good afternoon. Since I have two good ankles, I'll stand at the podium. I am honored to be working with Justice Hill on our working group, and he's asked me to organize a subgroup tasked with selecting and working with an independent outside oversight consultant. The purpose of this consultant is to provide an opportunity for visibility into the stewardship of OCCM with respect to the entire courthouse construction program. The consultant will be tasked at looking at all aspects of the courthouse program and giving us feedback on a real-time basis so that there would be an opportunity to provide course correction to the program if that's determined to be appropriate. The review will include both completed projects and those that are still in progress, and it will address all aspects of those projects, timeliness, efficiency, and the value for the dollar that we spend. The consultant will be asked to report on an ongoing basis to our working group. The status of this project is that the request for proposals have been published. The proposals are expected back this week, and we expect to be able to select the consultant in January. The selection committee consists of three judicial officers, including myself and Judge Power, who's here today, as well as a very experienced professional architect and an experienced real estate developer. The work of the consultant is expected to get underway in February. We are going to request a 90-day feedback with respect to an entire assessment of the construction program and recommendations to our working group, as well as longer term to receive timely comments with respect to the AOC report to the Joint Legislative Committee, which is due in January of 2013. So if there are no questions, I yield to my colleague, Judge Power.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Lucas, and I thank the Chief for allowing us to address the Judicial Council today. Preliminarily, I would like to thank Justice Brad Hill for including our working group presentation entitled Trial Court Facility Maintenance, What's Needed to Keep a Roof Over Our Heads, as part of the Court Facility Working Group's report to the Judicial Council this afternoon. I would also like to thank Judge William Heiberger, who's with me today, and Pat McGrath of the OCCM staff for their effort in preparing, editing, and finalizing the slides that will be presented shortly. As many of you recall, the Trial Court Facility Modification Working Group is made up of four Superior Court judges and three executive officers from throughout the state who review, prioritize, and fund facility modifications. We meet eight times per year. The ultimate decision of what facility modifications to approve and fund for the 500 court facilities statewide is with the members of our working group. As a brief recap, the Judicial Council, by action taken on August 26, 2011, approved the facility modification budget for fiscal year 11-12 at $30 million. At that level of funding, only Priority 1 emergencies and the most urgent Priority 2 necessary projects are able to be funded. I'm here today with Judge Heiberger again to report to the Council that the current operations and maintenance budget and the facility modification budget are simply insufficient to assure adequate court facilities now and in the future. Maintaining our physical infrastructure involves various types of overlapping work. The most basic is janitorial, a local responsibility such as general cleaning of court facilities. Operation and maintenance includes routine repairs and preventative maintenance, such as cutting the grass and adjusting courtroom and chambers temperatures. Adjusting of courtroom and chambers temperatures is a very common call for service in the operations and maintenance area. Court facility modifications are essentially the rehabilitation, renovation, and improvement of a court facility. These projects typically involve additions of new systems, equipment, or other components not otherwise existing. Common examples of facility modifications include a roof replacement, elevator upgrades and replacement, heating, air conditioning, and building automation system replacement, as just some examples. Currently, the largest facility modification ever funded is taking place at the Clara Shortridge Fultz Criminal Courts Building in Los Angeles, an over $5 million project to upgrade the 21 elevators of that courthouse. The current condition of many of our courthouses is still below standards due to the condition of the facilities at the time of transfer and marginal funding since that time. Many courthouses have systems or components that are unreliable or routinely fail. Common complaint areas include roofing, heating, air conditioning, and plumbing. Both operations and maintenance and facility modifications need to have adequate and stable funding. Inadequate O&M funding creates long-term problems that increase facility modification costs. And an example is helpful. There was a facility modification at the Pasadena Courthouse, which clearly exemplifies the problem here. Sometime between Friday, October 28th and October 31st, 2011, a braided steel hot water supply line broke in the women's public restroom under the sink on the second floor. Water leaked from the second floor down to the first floor. The total cost to mitigate the emergency condition and complete cleanup and all needed repairs totaled $106,600. If a strong preventative maintenance program had been in place, the faulty condition may have been caught and addressed before the water line failed. But due to budget constraints, a minimum reactive preventive maintenance program is all that is possible. Clearly, preventive maintenance is much cheaper than expensive repair done on an emergency basis. It works in the other direction as well. Inadequate facility modification funding creates maintenance issues that might impact on operations and maintenance costs. A common example, when we cannot afford to replace an outdated air conditioning system that needs replacing, the result is quite predictable. The unit is subject to frequent breakdown, requiring expensive and frequent calls for maintenance. Why should we be concerned about O&M facility modifications? There are other worthy court programs that deserve judicial counsel funding and support. However, even with all the new construction projects that are coming online, the reality is that 5 or 6 years from now, once all the planned new construction is complete, approximately 90% of our court space in use today will still be in use. Adequate funding for court funding for operations and maintenance and facility modifications is and will continue to be a critical issue for the branch. The working group strongly supports recommendation number 9 contained in the executive summary, and I request its adoption by the council this afternoon. Now Judge Heiberger will walk us through the slides that he has prepared. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, David, for the chance to be with you, obviously members of the council. We're dressed in business suits this afternoon, as is appropriate for people who go to court. But really, where you members of the council are in the current reality is you should be dressed in surgical scrubs. Because basically, you're triage nurses. And triage nurses have one of the hardest jobs in society because of all the moral responsibility that falls on a triage nurse. But you've got to decide in a period of extreme scarcity how to allocate between worthy projects, whether it's new construction, keeping courtrooms operating, new computer infrastructure, self-help centers, all the different proper requests made of our branch to serve the public. But as triage nurses, I'm here to beg of you that you need to give more money to this category. Now, I'm not naive. I know we're short of money. Many of you know that Judge Carolyn Kuhl, former member of this council, is my wife. She and Judge Wesley and Judge Edmund are engaged in contingency planning right now, just like the horrible things that Judge Feinstein had to look at in San Francisco, to close civil, and I'll have to get my bench books out to go back to dependency where I started as baby judge under Terry Friedman if we have to close all the civil operations. I know that times are very tough, and yet I'm here to ask you to find some way to put more money in the budget as soon as possible, and I guess that means the next fiscal year, for operations and maintenance and facilities mod. Frankly, as between the two, you need some of each. If you put it in one and not the other, it's better than nothing. You really need to put some in each. Am I here on a fool's errand? I don't intend it to be a fool's errand because I care so much about it that actually I use my own money. These mouse pads you got, Judge Kuhl, through the magic of community property, and I have spent our money to get these for you, because this basically is the takeaway message that I want you to have on your desk, not just this afternoon or next week, but in January when you're talking about the budget, and in May when you're having the really heavy discussions about the budget, and in June and July and August when the really, really serious discussions about the budget come forward, so you're reminded of what the problem is. Now, I'm going to come back to this at the end of my presentation to explain all the particulars, but that's why you have it. Discountmugs.com, if you want your own mouse pad someday for presentation, that's where you get them. But I care enough about it that I really think it's important. The gist of it is we need to put in two-thirds more money for operations and maintenance and facilities mod as compared to what we have been doing in this fiscal year. In dollar terms, that means we need to put in $50 million. The funds that are used for these purposes have historically, so that's the mouse pad we're going to come back to. The funds that go into these different buckets come from different sources. In simplest of terms, your operations and maintenance are primarily funded by the county facilities payments that they pay in lieu of running the courthouses. They, however, are capped at too low a number, and as we go forward, if there's any inflation or rise in utility expenses, the county facility payments are far from adequate to cover the burdens that have been put upon them. Facilities modifications come out of SB 1407 money and SB 1732 money, and they do have strings attached, but basically That's a different source of funds that comes from. And you know, we saw in the last fiscal year how the legislature was willing to play around with 1732 and 1407 money, and I hope that with the good advice from Zlatko and others, you can figure out how to do it in the next fiscal period. As David said, in a perfect world, your facilities modification would do things like buy energy efficiency upgrades, fire life safety improvements, ADA access, building out existing space or reconfiguring roughed-in space for self-help centers or more courtrooms. We are in a position to do hardly any of that at the moment. We are instead repairing broken elevators. We're fixing broken sewer pipes. We're dealing with water leaks because we don't have the money to do what in a perfect world we would do with facilities mods. In a perfect world, we would have a new self-help center here, a new ADA door there, and a new green energy-efficient system. But that doesn't happen. Dave already has made the point about why a stitch in time saves nine. What are some of the key facts about our O&M budget? Long story short, we're spending less money on it now than we used to. That's not a good sign. And we spend only about 60% of what we ought to. The red line there on the right-hand side of the chart, if you're with me at this point, of the line chart, shows that in dollar terms, we are at the moment spending $2.57 a square foot, whereas the industry standard would tell us you ought to spend $4.27. This is routine maintenance. This is essentially changing the oil in your car, changing the air filters in your air conditioning system, walking around looking for frayed plumbing lines, unclogging the sewer lines where the tree roots get into them. Unglamorous, but routine maintenance kind of thing. You don't have a new air conditioning system when you're done, but you've got a working courthouse that is safe and people can use. The O&M, which comes from the county facilities payments and a little bit of other money, first gets gobbled up by utilities. You can sort of ignore repairing your car, but you can't ignore sending the check to Pacific Gas and Electric or Southern California Edison or the municipal utility district. So whatever the utility meter comes up with on a bill, we have to send that in if we don't want the lights turned off. So that's the purple line here. We spend more money now in this fiscal year on our utility bill than we do on routine maintenance of our courthouses. That's the red bar on the right-hand side. We also spend some money on leases. I, for example, work in Central Civil West, which is actually leased from a private landlord. It used to be in deplorable condition. It was closed for 2 months due to an electrical failure. It was red-tagged by the building department. And that landlord, thank goodness, has slowly, over 3 years, put the money into the building and has brought it back. You can see what happens. You can, if you work at it, bring a building back from death's doorstep by slowly doing the kind of deferred maintenance you have to. Now, the one other thing that's interesting about this chart is the blue line for insurance that is in the middle there. See how small that is? The answer is, as is typical of large governments, the U.S. government is exactly like this, we self-insure. That's a euphemism for we don't send a premium check to Hartford or Cigna or Aetna to buy insurance. We just suck it up and say we got enough assets spread around a broad enough area that when something burns down or falls down in a quake or gets flooded, we just take it, the law of averages will work for us. Well, that's fine, but remember, when we have a real calamity of a fire or a quake or a flood, we're doing it on our own, folks, and we're going to be groveling in front of the legislature for money because we don't have anything that is a self-insurance reserve fund. And we have hardly anything that is insured with an outside carrier that would write a check. So what do we know about our facilities modification funding? Last fiscal year, at $50 million, it was probably enough. This fiscal year, at $30 million, which is 40% less, it's not enough. How have we spent our, or more accurately, how much facility modification money have we had over time? The red line shows you how much we've had in actual fact. So last year, when we had $3.09, it was almost what the industry standard of $3.16 would tell us we should have. The blue line is what you would spend if you simply want to keep your existing assets in the condition they're currently in. They're not going to get better, but they're not going to get worse. The yellow line is what you're going to have to spend if you want to bring that asset back. The private landlord in the building where my courtroom is has been spending that kind of money. They did do the elevator overhaul. They upgraded the electrical system. They even had people cleaning the ducts last weekend. They have fixed broken concrete. That's why you have to spend at the yellow line. But, you know, if you took over something, you know, Kmart and Sears merged a few years ago. I think they're a fairly cheap landlord. But in theory, if you took over somebody else's real estate assets and wanted to bring it along, you have to ask, what's the budget? It takes that kind of a budget if you want to bring your assets back up to proper condition. And in all candor, the counties didn't maintain a lot of the buildings well. The counties knew for half a dozen years they're going to get out of the business of maintaining the buildings. During the half a dozen years when they knew they were going to get out of the business of maintaining the buildings, it was a classic time to just put scotch tape and baling wire on a problem. And so by the time we actually got the transfers of the building, they were in even worse shape than they historically were, which was not very good in the first place. As a result of not having enough money for facilities modification, now basically the emergencies are the red portion of the bar. So we do keep responding to emergencies. The yellow is the semi-emergencies. By way of example, in our airport courthouse in Los Angeles, we have four elevators in a high-rise courthouse serving the jurors, the witnesses, out-of-custodies, and the public and the lawyers. When two of the four elevators went down, we were able to fund repairing one of those dead elevators as an emergency, but not the second. So we had to wait and make a P2 out of the last elevator. But frankly, when you have a busy high-rise courthouse, you need all four of your elevators. You don't need three or two elevators. But we were only able to buy one as an emergency, and the other one became a P2. We have nothing in the black category, which is overdue, worn-out systems that ought to be replaced, but that probably will last another year. We're basically not putting oil in the motor, in practical terms of what's happening. There have been efforts made in the past. I'm here to bang the drum, though, frankly, because the efforts in the past to try to get more money haven't been successful. So I'm here to say, please, we need to do something more to get more money in this category, because if we don't, it's going to be ruination, and we're basically going to have people out on the street. There's a great picture in a prior annual report from... I think both the AOC had it and L.A. Superior, of my wife, Judge Kuhl, out on a card table in front of Central Civil West, holding a hearing at a notice class action because the building was red tagged. And so literally they were holding court out on the street because this had been noticed a long time, and so that's where court had to be. We don't accomplish anything if we avoid laying off staff but have to red tag our buildings. We don't accomplish anything if all we do is build new construction but red tag too much of our current infrastructure. This is not to say that we shouldn't build new buildings. We do need to build new buildings. If you don't replenish the most worn-out part of your capital infrastructure, it will all die on you eventually. Maybe not in the next 10 years, but we do need new construction. It's not a message that we should ignore. So we're 40% underfunded on that. Again, as I said earlier, you have to come up with a balanced sense of how to allocate scarce resources. That's why you're engaged in triage. This slide that you have there shows how customers and users of courthouses get snarky with your facilities management insofar as things really fall apart. That's the red and the orange portion of it. We're limping along somewhere in the yellow and the orange, and that has various itemizations of the indicia of inadequate maintenance. The next chart is similar, but it's an indication of the indicia of what happens when you have a shortfall of the facilities modification money, which does the big-ticket items, essentially, more detail than you need in some ways. So what happens? David summarized it well. Basically, for want of advanced attention to problems, you have more expensive problems, and you have court closures and other interruptions. I was just told by one of the staff coming in that the courthouse in Pixley in Tulare County, when it was assessed by the outside assessor 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they said the boiler is going to fail in this building. It got put on our list as a priority five because it was working. The boiler got older and more decrepit, and apparently last summer it got moved up the list to be a priority three, then eventually a priority two. But because we had to get the county to do the buy-in, it was still a priority two. Now it failed. So now it's going to be finished as a priority one because the boiler that wasn't and that could have been done in the summer. If you waited and planned ahead and repaired the boiler, you don't really need heat in Pixley in July, but you'll need heat in Pixley in January. But now they're going to be closed 5 days because they didn't get around to fixing the boiler at a time you could have done it in the ordinary course. And frankly, it's a lot cheaper to have a mechanic come in and do an order-scheduled project in July rather than having an emergency in December and January when everybody's beating down your neck to get it done so that you can reopen the courthouse. That's not a cheap way to buy construction. So now, back to the mouse pad. What is it that you're supposed to know when somebody sees this on your desk and says, what's that all about? The green shows you, as shown on the right-hand side, what our actual O&M budget has been. That's the lighter shade of green, and what our actual facilities modification budget has been at various times. Then above it, the red is the amount of money we need for operations and maintenance to avoid being in a shortfall situation. And then the purple called FM1 is the amount of money you need if you're going to fund your facilities modification just to the keep even basis. And then the gold or yellow color is what you'd need to put into the facilities modification bucket if you actually hope to bring back our temples of justice and make them worthy of continuing use for 20 or 30 or 40 years or longer. You can do it. You know, the state repaired the Capitol. The Capitol was in atrocious shape when they fixed it up. But you can fix it up. Harvard, Stanford, they got old buildings. But you got some famous building? You want to keep it going? You can do it. We've got historic courthouses. And I mean, some of them are only 50 years old but are historic. And frankly, maintaining them is a lot cheaper than replacing them. So what do we learn over time? When we first were taking baby steps into having the courthouses under branch control, we had enough money for O&M and enough money for facilities mod. No problem, but also no square footage. When we get to fiscal year 07-08, we don't have enough money for repairs, but because we don't have much square footage, the problem is not very extreme. The problem first hit us in 08-09, and duh, it's because we got a lot of square footage in 08-09. Soon as we had a lot of square footage, we had a problem. Look how big that red bar is of the shortfall of routine maintenance money. Look how big the purple block is of the shortfall in the facilities modification money for major maintenance, essentially. Take it another fiscal year. The O&M got a little better, meaning the shortfall was a little less. The facilities mod got a little better, but didn't disappear. And again, we aren't doing anything to work off the deferred maintenance backlog. Take it up to last fiscal year. Well, we actually had almost enough facilities mod money to stay even last year. That was at the level of $50 million. But we have never had enough money for routine maintenance. The county's facility payments are not enough. The general fund has not supplemented it. And we are just running on empty when it comes to routine maintenance. And it's really the same thing. It's just taking your fleet of trucks or cruisers or whatever it is you operate on the road and not bothering to put oil in the motor because we're just going along without doing our routine maintenance. So let's take it to the current fiscal year. That's why the numbers are here. $41 million available for repairs, routine maintenance. $30 million only is available for facilities modifications, total of $71 million. We really need another $27 million for routine maintenance. That's what the 27 is there for. We need $21 million on top of that for facilities modifications. Add them together, $48 million. Round it, $50 million. Takeaway number. You really need to get $50 million into these budgets ASAP, certainly in the next fiscal year. That is essentially two-thirds of what we actually fund. So if you think of it another way, I thought of getting cups. You know, this is cooking season because of the holidays. You know, you'll be in the kitchen making brownies or bourbon balls or whatever, or martinis, you know, a two-thirds measuring cup, because the point is we are two-thirds short of what we ought to be doing. That's how much we have to add back in. And yes, in truth, in a perfect world, we'd go somewhere into the $98 million. Again, I realize that as we're looking to close courtrooms and we're trying to keep a new construction budget alive, we're worried about our IT infrastructure, we're not going to get the $98 million soon. But if we don't start putting the money in there somewhere, sometime, you're really never going to get buildings to be in the kind of quality of the space we're in now. So that's the real message, and that's why I went to the trouble of getting you the mouse pads. Again, not bought at public expense, but they're more. Nancy Spiro's got a stash. I hope, frankly, that the court execs and the presiding judges will each get one, because I think they're the ones who, of course, listen to what you do about resources, and they're the ones worried about closing their courtrooms. And I want them basically to understand, if you will put some money in this category, why they shouldn't kick you in the shins for sharing some of our very scarce resources to try to keep the buildings open and safe. We frankly need to do it to make delegation work. Brad mentioned at the beginning, one of the things that is really dearly desired is to take advantage of the opportunity to have local control of maintenance. But unless we have enough money in the budget for people to actually do it with a reasonable budget, you're sending somebody off basically on a fool's errand. If you give somebody, you know, 53 cents to do a dollar's worth of work, you're fooling them, basically. And, you know, a few counties may do it for whatever reasons. They got reserves or something, and they're just desperate. to do it, but you cannot do a dollar's worth of work for 53 cents. You might be able to do a dollar's worth of work for 90 cents with efficiencies, but you're not going to do it for 53 cents. So I guess the one other thing is, frankly, by showing the public we're going to take care of the buildings we have is the best argument for the public and the legislators to give us money for new construction, by showing that we can be responsible stewards of what we have. And we frankly need to take the chokehold off of these funds if we're going to make the branch control of our courthouses a success, which it can be and it ought to be. The OCCM staff are remarkably professional and organized. They've gone about it in a very nonpartisan, non-political, analytical way. They've got this outside vendor called VFA that's done an excellent job of going through the courthouses once they transfer over and looking for the big and the medium-sized problems so we can know what our problems are. But we just have to fund it adequately. So with that, I think Brad has got the final comments.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Pat, and thank you, Dave. And we just want to assure you that we intend for this to be judicial oversight at its best. We will do our very best to monitor not only the maintenance that Bill and Dave talked about, but also the new construction so that we can proceed as we have before on this very important task. We've said it before and we'll say it again. Both of these efforts are extremely important. Access to our courthouses, safe courthouses, are not something that we can fund just in good times, as our former chief and our current chief are fond of saying. It is important that we move forward, and we're entitled to those buildings. The public is entitled to those buildings. They need safe and secure courthouses, and we intend to move in that direction. Thank you very much, and we stand open for any questions.
Thank you. Very impressive, important presentation. Any questions or comments? There are 10 recommendations ahead of you. Commissioner Alexander.
I just had a question about, are we leaning on it? No. If money was put into maintenance and rehab, what would that do to the construction projects?
We're not taking from one and putting in the other. No, both programs need funding in our estimation. We will be finding, hopefully, some cost savings over time in the court construction program. And there may be some of those funds that can be transferred. And so, but since Justice Johnson was just appointed and hasn't yet had a committee meeting yet, I don't want to promise the millions of dollars that he's going to save. But once he does, I'm sure that Judge Power and Judge Heiberger will be there suggesting where that money might go.
Thank you. Judge Wesley.
So there's no plan then to take any money, 1407 construction or 1732 construction money, and take any portion of that for maintenance at the present time to enhance the amount presently given for maintenance?
That's not part of our current recommendation.
But it is a need.
It's an absolute need. We have a dual need, certainly the need for the new construction to move forward with those projects that we've cited. But also the maintenance component is an extremely important need as well.
So are we putting new construction ahead of maintenance of our current buildings? Is that what we're doing?
No, we're not. No.
We're not, but we're not going to take any money out of new construction to help us maintain our buildings.
Well, as I said, we're going to hopefully save some money. The reason we appointed that courthouse cost reduction subcommittee is to come up with what we think will be tens of millions, if not more, in savings on a yearly basis. Once we do that, those funds will be available. And, Dave, I think that, you know, that was something that we can look toward in terms of moving forward. We did not want to cancel any projects to refund some maintenance projects. Both of them are extraordinarily important. It's certainly a decision that the council can look to in terms of, you know, where they need to fund the projects. But at least our recommendation is we need those court construction projects to move forward, and we wanted to highlight today for you something that probably hasn't been highlighted enough, and that is the maintenance side of the business.
If there is a savings, then, is it your recommendation that the savings go into maintenance?
We would think that that would be a perfectly appropriate place to put it, yes.
Judge Herman?
I'm just wondering, and this is the pilot program that you have to relocate maintenance oversight and maintenance facilities. That's important because that is something that rubs a lot of local judges raw. They don't understand why, for example, it takes an out-of-county trip for it to come in and fix what they perceive as a minor problem. So I commend the committee on that because I think that is going to gain us a lot of credibility with our colleagues on these issues.
Jim, that is extremely important. I've had judges up and down the state talk about the fact that they would like to do that. I've also had judges tell me that they're simply not necessarily wanting to get into that business. They think the AOC has been doing a great job and would like to maintain the status quo. That's fine. We're not going to force them or recommend that they be forced in any particular model. But if a court is capable of doing it, if we can fund it properly, and they'd like to do it, then we think that that's a model that should be pursued.
And have you looked at any model in terms of what kind of cost savings there might be by relocating maintenance to a local level?
We anticipate that there will be cost savings. I think the pilot project will probably highlight those, so I might be getting ahead of myself if I predict what the pilot project might demonstrate, but I think it will demonstrate, and I think just anecdotally from what we have heard from our colleagues, that in many of the local projects and the small maintenance projects, just by maintaining that kind of local control, you can keep costs down. And I think that that's what we'll find in the pilot project.
Justice Miller.
I just wanted to go back to the two speakers and what their recommendation is with regards to the Nevada courthouse. In the table, it says proceed with site acquisition, but I'd understand it's something different than that.
At this point, we haven't decided, or at least there has not been a decision made as to the site, whether it's the existing site where that Art Deco courthouse is currently placed or whether it's another site. There are several other sites that are being considered, and my point on that was we're looking at all of that. We as a committee may well be making recommendations. There may be cost variations between the two sites that would involve a recommendation from us, and so we're prepared to make that, and that would probably be made in early next year.
All right. And then the second was with regards to the modification list, and that would be one of the recommendations that we should add to your report today to have you reevaluate that and come up with a new list in that regards, and then it would be given to E&P to review to bring to the council?
I think that would be a good idea. Again, I just feel that in terms of clarity for the public and transparency, we should have that kind of a list that is useful not only to us, but to folks outside the branch, and we would be happy to monitor that. I know that staff has indicated a great willingness to do just that, and we will have that back to you if that is a recommendation to you within a month.
All right. So, and then just one last one. Number 10 is dealing with technical changes and the authority being delegated to the AOC Office of Court Construction in that regards. And one other assignment that we had given you through the council and through E&P was to look at a broader picture as to what the council's role should be with regards to the oversight of the facilities. And I know that's something you're working on, and we'll get back to us in that area too.
We are. And we're working in order because we have a number of subcommittees, and there has been some discussion that perhaps we can all report through the court facilities working group because we're working in the same direction. We'll obviously have different committees, but it might not be a bad idea to have one group making the ultimate recommendation.
All right. Thank you.
Judge Rosenberg and then Justice Baxter.
Thank you for that report and your hard work. I've heard a number of presiding judges who are quite satisfied with the maintenance services being provided currently, but I also have heard from a number of presiding judges who would like the ability to as you say, decentralize, to have that choice. And so I really commend you for that recommendation. Also, I'm pleased to see we're moving ahead on behalf of the presiding judges on the projects under 1407. I would say the vast majority of judges want us to move ahead on that. We run the risk in the future if we don't move ahead now. So I certainly support these recommendations.
Thank you. Justice Baxter.
Well, my comments are probably repetitive of Judge Rosenberg's. I want to commend the working group and the subcommittees for what you're doing. And as to the list that has been misconstrued and that has been the result of bad publicity, I really do think that that's a very critical issue. And whether that means you end up with two separate lists, one a wish list from the county, and the second a list that's actually approved renovations or extensive maintenance or whatever it might be, I think that's a very important step. The other thing as well is the decentralization for maintenance, minor renovation, things that the trial courts could do, things that the that can be done locally without having to engage the bureaucracy of the AOC, I think is really important. And it gives the locals a sense of responsibility and authority to handle some of these more routine projects. Now, how the funding is handled, of course, that's going to be a challenge. But I think you're going in the right direction, and I commend you for that.
There are 10 recommendations before you. It sounds like there's an 11th. And I think the way I understood you, Justice Hill, it was a recommendation to revamp and resubmit the maintenance request list to the Judicial Council for approval?
Yes.
So I'm just going to put that right now as recommendation number 11. But I am going to first ask if there's a motion as to items, recommendations 1 through 4, and then we'll take the others a little bit separately. Do I hear a motion regarding recommendations 1 through 4 found on page 2 of the report?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Moved by Judge Show, seconded by Judge Rosenberg and Judge O'Malley. In terms of item recommendations 1 through 4, if there's no further discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Recommendations 1 through 4 pass. I took recommendations 5 and 6 separately because they are a little bit more extensive. They are demonstrated in column C and D in the attachments of Table 1. Regarding recommendations 5 and 6, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Judge O'Malley. Judge So seconded. If there's no further discussion on items 5 and 6, I would ask for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Recommendations 5 and 6 pass. As for recommendations 7 through 10 and recommendation number 11, as announced inartfully by me, do I hear a motion?
So moved. To adopt 7 through 11.
Thank you. Justice Judge O'Malley, seconded by Justice Baxter. Any further discussion? All in favor of 7 through 11?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Those recommendations are approved. And once again, I join in the chorus of gratitude for the presentation of the numbers, the need, the hard work, and that you took a collaborative approach involving the courts to find a way to continue to move forward, find costs, reductions where we can, and come back to us with further information. Thank you for all your time.
Thank you very much. We'll look forward to it.